I'm gonna go on a for the rest of my life search for a play that makes me weep when I watch, only exclusively at high school games, which is gonna get creepier and creepier as I get older.
Well, you're older than all of us, Jez, so it's already the creepiest when you do it. So,
but I look the youngest.
That somehow makes it even creepier. <I don't know. laughs> This man boy is coming up and crying in front of my son.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome back to the Incomplete Series. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of that TV series and try and figure out what happened. Joining me to do this again after a bit of a layoff is my good friend and lawyer, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
Am I your good friend and lawyer? Or am I...
Well, you were my lawyer first, just through
try to tell
through
you
your representation, I now see you as a friend.
I keep trying to tell you I'm not a lawyer, and you keep telling me you lawyers crack me up. And I don't know what to do. I can't represent you in your case where you're getting sued by BuzzFeed for copyright infringement.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
We'll get through the intros, Morgan, so we can address this issue.
We'll get to BuzzFeed, because I got a real Instagram with BuzzFeed. And as my lawyer, I've been consulting with you, and I keep getting these responses. I'm not a lawyer. I'm sick of it. and my trusted physician, Aaron Boughton. Aaron, how are you?
Oh, I'm not a doctor, Morgan. but I am very well. It is so good to be back on the pod with you guys. And I will perform any procedure you like. Just let me know. I'll wiki-how it and we'll take care of it.
So that's that can-do attitude that makes me so happy to have you back. And why we missed you so much in Sweden, because Jeremy's such a naysayer. And lastly, my therapist, Scott Burgess. Scotty, how are you? It's good to have you. Good to have you back as well.
Oh, thank you. I actually am a therapist, and I'm willing to give you any advice you see fit and that you need at any time.
And any prescription.
That's okay, true. Can you what level of teen drama can you prescribe to me? Because I think we need more of that in our lives.
Up to schedule 11.
Oh, gee, I don't even know what that means.
Like
you want
splat,
the,
but
you
I
want
like
the band stuff?
Eyeballs out of your skull.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You know, under the counter and like over the counter...
Yes.
This is through the counter.
So it's some sort of like through the counter.
It's like fourth dimension.
Teen drama. Is it legit? Is it street legal? No. Is what I'm trying to say. Is it street legal outside of Mexico?
It's ghost drugs. So I don't know if you can get that on the street, but...
No, fair enough. Well, you know, Aaron's a resident physician here, so if he's okaying it, then I'm in.
He says it's fine. He says you're in great shape.
You set him up, okay. I'll knock him down.
Oh, excellent. That's good. Oh, so anyway, look, let's get away from the roles I've assigned you in my life, which is obviously...
Yeah, sounds like a rough 6 months, Morgan.
I'm in serious peril if I've been dreaming up all these. I've just missed podcasting so much. It's good to be... What's it been, six months?
6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And in that 6 months, look who's swept in to steal our thunder.
BuzzFeed.
You leave a space.
BuzzFeed.
They fill it.
BuzzFeed. And you know what? They're more famous than we are.
I don't know. The jury's out on that one. As your
Jez knows jury,
I can use a phrase like that.
What's your professional opinion?
They've been sequestered and they are deliberating.
Should we fill the people in who are listening?
Essentially, BuzzFeed. And funnily enough, they actually chose a show that we'd already covered off, and I think covered off pretty well in Pretty Little Liars. They did an article where they watched the first episode of a TV series and the last episode of the TV series, and just try and figure out what happened. But they get sidetracked by what happens in the episode, just exactly what we do. But we do it in an audio format rather than text format.
Your author was this guy, Corgan Mole. We've been trying to track him down.
It's strange.
He's ripping us off, making that sweet BuzzFeed money. And I don't know. We might have a leak. I don't know where it's coming from, but I feel like someone is...
Go plug those holes.
Yeah. My guess is one of the fill-ins we had.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. If I can't prove it.
Yeah. When was the last time
Jeremy,
we had a fill-in?
Jeremy, do you trust your partner?
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. That would be the most recent fill-in. Well...
It's coming from inside the house.
Well, oh my God.
I'll bring you in here and we'll expose it live on air.
There's some light waterboarding. Yeah, it's so egregious. They've done Pretty Little Liars, Sex in the City, and I don't know if you guys saw their most recent article just 1 week ago, Dawson's Creek.
Really?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. The real red flag's going to be Baywatch Nights.
That's the line.
That's when we send the cease and desist.
Yeah.
As I've said, that is our driving Miss Daisy. So once they do that, That's when we're going to court. So I don't know. You better get start getting organized now.
Get your wig sewn.
Your wig powdered.
Yeah, I'm powdering my wig. I'm de-lousing my robes.
I did have a quick scroll through the Dawson's Creek one, and at least we've got them covered quality-wise. There was no mention of walking the dog, and there was no mention of how leery men only masturbate to news broadcasts.
Come on.
So it's all filler.
Yeah, that's garbage. I mean, they're only really... It's pretty superficial. They're just trying to... They're just for ratings. They don't care about the art, which is what we're about here. We're about the art form of, you know, breaking down people's art and, you know... Because... I don't know where I'm going.
I'm having a look here right now. I'm having a look on their website right now. One of the comments on the article says, please do One Tree Hill. So...
Oh, you're kidding. Oh, cop that.
Actually, I feel like we should post a
they asked and we listened.
We should start posting links to our podcast on this. I swear to God.
We should.
We'll get discovered, finally.
By BuzzFeed.
That might actually be a good idea.
Yeah, I think so. We've got a...
If we get bought out by a conglomerate.
A lot of content behind us.
Well, fan, if you're listening, please write in and tell us whether you think this is a good idea.
Okay, well, anyway, look, we can probably, you know, periodically, you know, take shots at BuzzFeed throughout the podcast, but we should probably actually talk about the show that we did for our triumphant return back behind the microphone, which was One Tree Hill. Now, this has been on the list for a little while. I am glad that we picked this one, but oh man, this was a tough slog. I have to say, this was a tough slog.
You found it rough?
What did you guys know? Yeah, what did you guys know about this show going in, and how did you feel about coming out?
Chad Michael Murray.
That's about all I knew. I actually thought Jesse McCartney was in this.
No, he's in the other one.
I can see
one.
How you would make that mistake.
What's the other one?
Two Tree Hill.
Two Tree Hill, of course. What did I even ask?
I was intimately familiar with this pilot. I reckon I've seen it about 5 times.
Really?
Yeah, it was like I'd seen the first season and
you had to watch it once through that BuzzFeed article.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you recycle your BuzzFeed garbage with us.
I do, yeah. So that's two. Get my silver medal.
3 times after that just really...
That's just for me.
Just really break down those basketball scenes.
Yeah, oh yeah. Got to get those tapes, figure out that offense they're running. A lot of basketball in the first episode, not so much in the last episode.
Yeah. So I'm interested, sorry, Aaron, you've watched this pilot a number of times. Can you expand on that as to why?
I feel like in my early teen years, I was looking for something to go with the OC when that wasn't when that was in the off season. So I hit One Tree Hill pretty hard, filled the void in the early days, but it went downhill fast. But I feel like I've restarted it a number of times. I revisited the pilot, gave it a crack, and just kept falling down earlier and earlier.
Yeah, Scott, what about you? You got any experience with this show, or are you probably pretty similar to Jez and I?
Yeah, pretty much going in cold. I know Chad Michael Murray. I know the name. I assume he's a serial killer because he's got three names.
Oh, that's what that is.
But yeah, really hadn't seen a whole lot. I knew there was some basketball action, which I'm really quite clueless about. So I don't think it was ever really going to get me.
It was funny. I had very little. I was aware of the existence of this show, but my girlfriend was telling me she never watched The OC, which I think was probably really smack in the middle of our sort of, that was our teen show. Mm-hmm. But she said she never watched The OC. Her parents wouldn't let her, but they would let her watch One Tree Hill, which I find...
It's really the same time period, right?
Well, it's the same thing, yeah. But this ran for 8 seasons.
Wouldn't she
be
like
seasons.
16 when this came out?
9 seasons.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just an interesting little fact.
OC? Or is too it? Much for a 16, for a fragile 16-year-old brain?
Yeah. I don't know.
Showing Sandy Cohen's eyebrows on TV, what is that? Like, what sort of ratings is it
that was the reason.
Your show? Is that, like, immediately X?
you got to black bar them.
Those two beasts of caterpillars. Yeah, they get blurred.
Black bar, monobrow.
It only makes it worse.
They censored their own. Her parents got the episode to the OC first and censored out all the Sandy Cohen scenes. So you just like the top half of his head.
Just a strip of tape along the TV, just around wherever he walks in.
I mean, but, I guess this is one the fans wanted. The BuzzFeed fans, our fans, wanted One Tree Hill. I think it was a pretty popular one back then.
Yeah, I mean, well, it got 8 seasons. But again, I guess the thing I knew most, I think that...
9 seasons. Nine.
Sorry, Chad
nine
Michael seasons, Murray, right?
Chad Michael Murray was the only thing I knew about this show. And he was the only... Yeah, and he was too. I have a good authority. He was the only reason most people watched said show. So
that's what I thought as well.
And I don't think he's a particularly great actor, but he very much eclipses the ensemble cast around him, who are not great. Look, should we just jump into episode one and break that down and go from there?
The inaugural episode of One Tree Hill begins with two basketball-loving half-brothers. Nathan, the prodigy whose father will do anything for him to get the scholarship of a lifetime, and Lucas, the wrong side of the track street baller who's more into Steinbeck than Stackhouse.
What you reading these days, man?
Steinbeck, the winner of our discontent.
Let me hear some.
Nah.
Come on, dog. You know I'd be reading vicariously through you.
After Nathan hijacks a school bus, a la GTA 2, and half the basketball team gets suspended, the coach is forced to take Lucas onto the team. Through some pent-up fraternal rage, Nathan challenges Lucas to a street game, putting his spot on the team and his girlfriend Peyton on the line.
Okay, and so what if he wins? What does he get?
He gets you.
And although Lucas wins the midnight one-on-one, his chivalry kicks in, and he refuses Nathan forfeiting his spot on the team and his offer to gift him his girlfriend. What a pair of dreamboats.
First thing, so we could talk about the, you know, other parts later. The most pressing issue for me was, why was it at midnight? Why midnight?
Tomorrow night, midnight, at the riverfront.
That's my first note. It's like, why not just do it in the daytime? Like, you're gonna have
they're all waiting around for
then.
So long. Midnight. Come on.
It's probably a school night.
And their parents are waiting up for them when they get home? It doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, his dad's
and
just
it was such
an
a big deal.
2:30 on a Thursday morning.
It was such a big deal for the parents. Like, oh, my son's going to quit the team if my other... Let's just... Also, we're going to get to parent of the year. Nathan's dad. But what... you're right. The midnight thing was bizarre. There's no reason for that at all.
Good crowd too. That place was packed out. There was probably like 60 people.
The whole town was in on this. Like, oh, it's the one-on-one. Like,
and they just lose their mind when Nathan dunks in the warm-up.
Okay, folks, here we go.
The parents are so invested in this one-on-one game that they're not invested enough to go see it. But they're just both the respective parents are sitting up. One, like, Lucas's mum sitting on the porch, Nathan's dad sitting in an armchair, just waiting for them to get home, just stressing. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
Just having the stakes. 5 o'clock. All Lucas does is play basketball down by the river. Like, Nathan could just come along whenever he wanted and he'd be there.
Do you think he had a home ground advantage because he plays on that court all the time? Think he'd rigged it with little tweaks that only he knows?
Like,
I don't.
Little trampoline at the free throw line.
Yeah, that
jump clean over him.
That sort of subtle installment.
How did he
bunch
so
of
high?
16-year-old white guys, they were dunking very easily.
Or 17. Yeah, what do you reckon that was like a 6-foot rim?
Yeah.
Oh, and how tall are those guys? Like 4'2"? It's all visual trickery.
Yeah.
That's what I was gonna say. Is this like when they shoot on like 3/4 size sets?
Yeah.
To make like people
Like the
look
Hobbit.
Like giants.
I believe Peter Jackson was attached to this project, so
he was very
good
with this stuff. He was looking, this is after Return of the King, right? He's looking for something.
Yeah,
this is his follow-up.
He took those like forced perspective techniques that he used for Gandalf and really implemented them.
I mean, McKellen and Michael Murray are peas in the pod.
Now, I want to move on to Nathan and Lucas's dad, Father of the Year.
Bench press king, Dan Scott.
He's a large man.
Yeah, outbenched his son by like 5 kilos or something.
That's how he
it's
gets
very impressive.
Off.
Just beats him in 5 kilo increments.
As long as he maintains like a 5 kilo buffer, I guess. That's all you need to be the dad of the house.
Exactly. I always find it funny with these teen shows how the towns are about as big and as small as they need to be per like story or story arc.
Yeah.
And I find it like completely insane that a town of that size would exist where the father of the high school basketball star, respected business, would just completely disown this other child within the town.
Yeah.
Same age
bracket.
He
must have like got two chicks pregnant at the same time.
Sired them at the same time.
Yeah.
It's just like I mean, obviously they'd explore it further, but it just seems, it's just kind of really weird. Like, I just do not understand how this relationship.
Did you say sire
them? Yes, I did. Okay. Is that the legal term?
Maybe he was
You're my lawyer.
Maybe he was in a breeding program 17 years prior to the start of the show.
Possibly.
In 1987. They were running low on children in town and they just...
Well, in that case, it's fair enough that he didn't...
yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense.
Didn't father them himself.
Yeah, I suppose.
But no, he's a real piece of shit.
Yeah. He's a real piece of shit.
I reckon
He owns a car dealership. I mean...
Yeah, that says enough, doesn't it?
He's got a lot of Donald Trump about him.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon some of those mannerisms, some of those little smirks, I reckon they were asking him to do 100% Trump.
The hair?
Mm.
Yeah, it's feathered...
Belittling your son.
Yeah.
But that whole dynamic is, I just find ridiculous. Like, I can't conceive how that would exist in such a, like, if he's not left town, the mother would have taken Lucas and they would have gone somewhere else.
Mm.
If the relationship was that bad that they went to this, and they both boys went to the same high school with the same year level, and the father just wouldn't acknowledge the existence of the other son. I just find that just,
yeah.
He walks around town talking about how he tried to get that kid aborted.
I can't change the fact this kid exists. If I could, I would. The truth is, I told Karen I'd take care of it.
Hey, if I could change his existence, I would. Like, so even now, he still doesn't want him to exist. That is the level of contempt that Dan Scott has for Lucas.
When he has nothing, he's not even in his life. There's absolutely no burden on him whatsoever. He's still like, I need to step this guy out.
Except he's trying to steal his real son's dreams.
Mm.
Exactly.
Of being the best basketballer in a town of 6,000 people.
Well, we don't know how big it is because it seemingly has its own TV network. So
that's true.
Again,
that's true.
It's a sliding scale for however big that needs
big
to be.
Big enough for Gavin DeGraw to play out. That's another thing that I'm really struggling to sort of like put all these people on an age scale. It's like all the adults are somewhere between 28 and 35. All the kids are 22 and the coach is 80.
The coach could be anywhere between 80 and 300. He's a very weathered man.
Yeah, Judge White. No,
it's that Peter Jackson influence. Wanted something, a character with a bit of lore.
This town just has like birth rate spikes every 17 years and then no child is born for the next 16, and then it's just, that's why they had to the curse of One Tree Hill, they had to sire Dan so that he could get the spike in birth rate.
Once it all die out.
Yeah, it all makes sense.
I do have a question for you guys. Now, have you... And Scott, this is probably not directed to you because I know you're not a massive basketball fan.
I'll try and answer it.
Have you ever cried while watching a basketballer play basketball because his style of basketball is so beautiful?
I look up at my daddy and he's got tears in his eyes because he's so beautiful. He played with such poetry that he made us feel like we were a part of it. You have a gift, Luke. It's a crime not to let people see it.
Like, would you consider watching Doncic play jazz? Would you consider that poetry?
I guess I'd have to be there in person to fully understand it. Also,
fair enough.
The guy that he was describing, was he describing like an NBA player, or was he describing just
I think he was describing a high school basketballer.
Makes it problematic.
Because it was his dad
that was crying, right? This is Lucas's uncle Keith.
Yeah. I looked over and he was crying because the way he played was so beautiful. It's like poetry. I cannot. This was one of the this show was the most melodramatic show I think I've ever seen in my life, considering how low the stakes were. Aaron, did you ever cry watching Glenn Davis in the post?
Big Baby got me a few times, for sure. And Space Jam was a real tearjerker.
It was.
Seeing Charles Barkley on that court.
Now you're talking my language.
I think that was probably the most ridiculous part of the whole episode, and of what was they jammed in a fair bit of insanity. I felt, but that was peak insanity for me.
Do you think he was just making it up to convince him to play,
join the basketball team? Yeah, I don't know, but like
there are a few moments of peak insanity.
Give me some peak insanity, Jez.
Well, the basketball team just stole a school bus after winning just like a random game. They're having like a kegger in the back of the school bus.
Yeah, that was
while Nathan's driving it. And
I
then
cried because that was so beautiful.
When they almost hit a freight train and people almost die, the charges get dropped because I don't know.
Dan Scott's a big shot.
Small town.
What was the point of the whole thing with like the freight train, the bus, and Peyton driving, and then almost hitting Chad Michael Murray? What was the point of all the dramatic tension,
Morgan?
Yeah,
those intersecting moments.
You thought Peyton was going to crash into the train, but instead she was swooning over Lucas.
Mm.
But you weren't sure if the bus was going to hit him, or she was going to hit the bus, or the train was going to hit him. He was going to run into the train and derail it.
Yeah, I guess the perspective was great. That's classic Peter Jackson.
Classic.
Yeah.
So this isn't insanity. This is just related, I guess. Seemed like a pretty big homage was the scene where Lucas's friend, what's his name?
Skills.
He's saying like, why are you saying no to joining the basketball team? Like, we're all here, but you're not supposed to be here, sort of thing.
Yo, Luke, man, you know you're one of my best friends, right? And ain't nothing ever gonna change that, man. But keep it real. We ain't shooting for teams. We shooting to be your excuse. And I ain't about to be a part of that.
Classic rip just straight out of Good Will Hunting of, like, wasting your ability. You know that scene where he's Matt Damon's at the junkyard with Ben Affleck and he's like...
I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket. You're too much of a pussy to cash it in. And that's bullshit. Be an insult to us if you're still here in 20 years. Hanging around here is a fucking waste of your time.
But isn't the reason that he's not cashing in on it at the high school the fact that he doesn't go to the school?
No, he's there.
Like, I can't just be like, my dream is to play, you know, under sixes basketball at the highest level. And then you guys are like, well, you just go live your dream. What are you doing? You got a winning lottery ticket. I'm like, all right, I'll go re-enroll in primary school and just dominate. He's not. He doesn't go to the school. He does go to the school. No, he doesn't. He works.
He goes to the school. I think you're lost here.
That was this is not the hill to die on, Jez.
He's never. He's like a Fonz type character,
he's like
or
working on cars.
He's a mechanic.
That's his basketball weekend job. He's after school.
Oh my god! Where does he find the time? We're made to believe that he's down at the river shooting hoops with Skills. These two random dudes that feel the need to commentate like they're 2-on-2 game.
And here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Lucas Scott.
What's up, baby?
137-3 going into tonight's contest.
And he's hanging out with his best friend at his mum's cafe, who is also like, kind of looks like his mum, and I get the two confused because I've got face blindness. And then he's also working at his uncle's shop. Where he doesn't go to school.
Can we talk about his best friend? How old is she meant to be? I was confused by that.
Well, she goes to school as well.
Mm. Oh, she does?
Yeah.
They all go to school. Maybe,
you know what they could have used? They could have used a scene in the pilot where they're at school. That would have helped. the only person we see at school is Nathan, and he's not even like doing...
That's not Jackson style.
Actually, there is one scene where he's like, what's their last name?
Scott.
Hey, Scott, you're on the team. And then, you're right, actually, there was one scene at school. Yeah, Americans need uniforms. That's what this comes down to.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Yeah, throws me
I
off.
I think so.
All this casual clothes at school. Where's the discipline?
Tell you what my favorite line
is. You know, I'm starting to see where Dan's coming from.
go hit the bench press, Jez. Work off that anger.
Might stack an extra 5 on tonight just to... just to assert my dominance over Alan.
When Nathan was inbounding the ball during a game and he's standing next to his girlfriend Peyton and she's trying to be all saucy and says to him,
don't bother showering tonight.
Oh, ooh,
yeah.
I'm going to like some of that.
Yeah.
Don't remember that, but gross.
I think he pulled a bit of a Scott. This reference might go over Scott's head, but a Paul Pierce in the game. I think he shat his pants. And she could smell the shit.
Yes, yes.
And you know, everyone knows women just love the smell of shit. Really gets them going.
He didn't shower that night, and he got some.
Yeah, exactly.
There's one thing I know. There's one thing I know about women. It's that. That's a pretty sound theory, Jez.
Well, every single man who's ever had sex shits. So do the math.
I guess you can't argue with that logic, can you?
Can't argue with the logic. What else is it that they're attracted to, if not the shit?
I don't know. Frankly, I don't want to.
Pheromones, Morgan. It's animal kingdom, you know, nature, biological urges, all that sort of stuff.
Seems a little bit out of your jurisdiction.
All right, I'll go back to suing BuzzFeed.
Exactly. Legally speaking, Jez, after Chad Michael Murray defeats Nathan in the basketball game duel, does Chad Michael Murray have a legal claim over Peyton?
Yeah, legally there was speaking. A deleted scene where they hand over the title to her and they sign all the paperwork. Yeah, okay. You know, it gets filed with city office and...
Yep.
That was in Jackson's 3-hour director's cut.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his real masterpiece. That's why he wasn't in. That's why he jumped off after the first season.
Yeah, he couldn't have his name attached to it if it wasn't the
no. That wasn't the vision that he had.
He's a purist.
His artistic flair really shines in the like heavy sort of bureaucratic scenes.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Which they deleted. Denied it. I wish we really had Peter Jackson's original vision of what One Tree Hill was.
To artfully explain to us through visuals the intricacies of trading women through sports.
It's a real tasteful depiction of trading women through sports.
But we should probably explore this a little more. Like they weren't really joking when Nathan wasn't joking.
Well, Nathan literally bet. He put a bet on that. Yeah, you can have my girlfriend if you win. Like insanity. Like,
and then when he does win, her face kind of drops a bit. She starts looking stressed towards the end of the game, and then when Lucas finally wins, she looks a little bit relieved. Like, oh yes, I've finally been won by a worthy man.
A new
hang
owner.
Wait, where is this?
I'm free.
Where is One Tree Hill? Is it 150 years ago?
And she still goes to the game as well.
And Nathan doesn't look like he tries that hard. Like, I think
he's not locking down on those jump shots. He's not getting out.
Oh, it's terrible defense.
Oh, the last no play, respect. He does a little shoulder fake. Spin move, and gets then about spins the other way. Like, he doesn't jump to contest at all. He just stands and lets him take the shot.
It's absolutely.
It's like this little bunny jumper from like 5 meters out, and he barely gets off the ground. Swat that shit.
He's Nathan's selling Lucas a lemon.
Maybe. Well, Peyton seems unnecessarily grumpy all the time.
No, I wasn't thrilled with the Lou Williams type defense that Nathan was spitting up. I mean, he might be able to score, but if he's not gonna guard the paint,
playing both ends.
Exactly. No, exactly.
You got no idea. One-on-one.
No, what? I mean, that's probably why Peyton wanted out. She's like, "There's no way I want to be you know, tethered to this fucking horrendous defender."
No wonder Coach Whitey dragged him in that big game.
I don't care if we're up by 5 or 50. I'm still the coach. Still my team.
Whatever you need to believe.
Well, have we explored all the basketball aspects of One Tree Hill and all the parenting aspects and the trading of women in One Tree Hill?
I think so.
Of episode one?
Because there's absolutely none in the last episode.
I think one thing I really want to impress on our listeners is just how often Lucas had a basketball in this episode.
It was he just always had 1% of the time.
Constantly.
The only time he did not was when he was towing Peyton's car, when he was putting the
All right,
on.
There was one
I'm
in
sure,
there.
I'm pretty sure there was one in.
He had one in the passenger seat. Strapped just him out with of shot. Seatbelt.
Exactly.
He drives by bouncing it on the accelerator. So it's just short little burst. It's great because he can practice his dribbling, but also it drives up business because people constantly just slam into the back of him and then they need to tow.
It's a great way to drive up business and refine your craft all at the same time.
Yeah. It's like the Donald Bradman with the golf ball and the stick. You know?
The consummate professional.
Pings off the accelerator in all sorts of directions. He's got to like hand-eye coordination.
Okay, well, let's get away from episode one and let's get into the finale of One Tree Hill.
There are some big changes in the One Tree Hill finale. Lucas and Peyton are gone, Dan's dead, and basketball has been replaced with live music.
Well, it is about to get a whole lot better. Please welcome Gavin DeGraw!
The whole episode is centered around a live music venue that Haley runs. Nathan and Haley are married, and he has just returned home to reminisce at the lakeside court and do some light parenting with his son.
I think you're old enough to understand that people are going to expect you to be really great at sports.
Because you and Grandpa Dan were?
That's right.
Brooke, a cheerleader back in the day, is filming a movie of their high school story and is married to the director. Chris Kelly, a wannabe rock star, is trying to impress a critic, while two others, Clay and Logan, get married and adopt a boy. The episode ends with countless flashbacks, nostalgic voiceovers, and a freeze frame of the friends watching a high school basketball game.
The one thing I want to say about this last episode, I mean, there's a lot.
How much that clearly checked out. Oh, man. This is one of the worst ones we've done.
I'm going to say this is
so bad.
This is a top three most confusing.
Even the lip syncing in some of the music scenes was just so poor.
But there's way too many characters. Like, it's way too many. There's so much shit happening. And
flipping around. Like, I think there was like flash forwards in time as well that they just weren't explaining.
Yeah.
It was so confusing, and we've done shows before where, like, Dawson's Creek is a good example where, like, okay, a lot obviously changed, but you intuitively can kind of navigate your way to the what's happened just about. Most of the characters are gone. There's all sorts of new ones.
They whittle down the amount of characters towards the end of a show to the ones that you really care about.
I really didn't, to be honest, actually, I know the characters that they actually carried forward, I didn't recognize a lot of them. I don't know you guys. It took me a while to kind of work out who was who. I also, every scene was like, I thought it was going to end about the entire episode. Every scene was wrapping up. Every scene was a wrap up.
And they'd ramp the dramatic music up and start like fading out, and they'd do a voiceover.
So
and you're like, all right, this is the last scene. And then just move to
so
the next
music.
One.
Yeah, so much music.
Having replaced like one of the fundamental elements, basketball, with live music was so jarring, so strange.
It reminded me a little bit of Teen Wolf when that just had crammed in heaps of songs. But this wasn't on MTV. This was on just like a regular network. They just kept stuffing as much music as they could in, like dramatic music. It still had the melodramatic undertones from the pilot that carried forward. But oh man, just. Too much, like the what was the character crying about high school, about how much she misses it, and but like it's still right here.
Brooke.
It's like, Brooke, like how fucking important is high school to you? Like
every single that was every
like,
single
it was
scene.
Like
well, they've never left
ago.
Their small town, and so I'm assuming pretty important.
No. Man, these people peaked early, like really early.
Yeah.
What are they filming? What is that thing? So it opens with like a set of the high school and. Her director husband has remade Peyton's room. It's like a movie set.
Looks pretty good, huh?
It's like a time capsule.
What is this thing?
It seems very similar to Dawson's Creek at the end where they're making a Dawson's Creek TV show.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I was picking up.
This did make Dawson's Creek finale look really good from memory.
Dawson's Creek finale
and that was
went
not a good
for 7
that
hours.
Was not a good finale. Yeah,
this was a single 40 minutes mercifully.
This was a flaming dumpster fire. I was so confused the entire time watching this and like a little bit like enraged. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Like this was a really hard
It was
turn.
A different show. It was absolute there was nothing there was no links from the first to
no,
last.
No, nothing.
A few basketballs. A couple of,
and the one thing that people were watching for was gone. Chad Michael Murray, not there anymore. So no Peter Jackson, no Chad Michael Murray.
One of the things I learned, I did some extracurricular reading as well, Jez, that I think it was about season 5, they actually skipped ahead four years. So when they all finished high school and went to college, they skipped college and they took the show to when they finished. And that was around Chad Michael Murray and the girl who played Peyton left. They didn't come back after that. So, and then the show kept going with them.
Why couldn't
and
they just kill them off like every other TV show?
Actually, yes. Because I read... Yeah. Apparently, Nathan... Did you read what happens to Nathan in his basketball career?
Oh, no, actually, no. I do know
I cheated a little bit here, but it's too good to pass up.
No, go ahead.
He apparently played college basketball, was going to get drafted, was slated to go number 10 in the draft.
Ooh.
I think Seattle were going to take him at number 10. This is what I read. And he went out celebrating before the draft because he was so excited. And he got into a fight and got thrown through a plate glass window and got all this nerve damage in his legs and then could never play again. He was about to get drafted top 10 and then...
got thrown through a plate glass window.
Yeah.
A little
bit. You know how that
happens. Obviously, like, how do we... Peter Jackson's left. How do we make it look like he's actually playing in the NBA? We can't just, like... this was before deep fakes. So you couldn't just deep fake him onto, JJ Redick or whatever running off screens.
Well, I reckon he was a spitting image of Nikola Jokic by the end of it.
I
was going to say, he looks like a more athletic Nikola Jokic, to be honest.
Nikola Jokic has flown through a plate glass window.
You don't say that. Keep him out of this.
Have you guys looked at the IMDb rating of this episode?
Oh, yeah, it's 9.4.
It is 9.4.
No.
9.4. I actually think it's the highest rated episode of anything we've done so far.
Any show ever.
And there's one user comment, and the comment is titled "Thank you, One Tree Hill."
That's outrageous.
Who's being satisfied this? By this episode?
Gavin DeGraw.
You'd have to.
It's his first gig in 8 years.
Gavin DeGraw. The only people that would have stuck out 8 seasons of One Tree Hill, because clearly. I can see how people would have liked. Having watched the pilot, I can see how people might have been into this at the start, but I can't see if you've watched the pilot how you would have been finishing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do know because I have tried to do some extra research today. There is a One Tree Hill podcast, which I listened to the first 10 minutes of,
and the last 10 minutes.
And the last 10 minutes.
Well, I haven't gone that far yet, but like. There are some real fans of this show. Some real diehard.
Incomplete
fans.
Series is a way of life. It's not just a podcast. I only did
no, evidently not
10 minutes of the last.
You better not be having any middles, Morgan. You know we're not allowed those.
You have the start of the meal, the end of the meal.
Well, that's why
I'm eating a sausage. I haven't cut out the middle.
You have the entree and you have dessert. No main.
It's a hard way to live. It's a really hard way.
I take the first sip of my coffee. I tip out the next 80%, and then I drink the dregs.
Do you guys also live in constant dissatisfaction like I do then, doing it this way?
I've forgotten what the middle of songs sound like.
I wish I could have cut the middle out of watching that finale because it was real shit.
Yeah, it just makes it so much more jarring when like the two main characters are not in it or even mentioned at all. I say Uncle Lucas once, but there's just nothing. They're just completely cut out.
Yeah.
Well, you want Nathan and Lucas to have like one-on-one at the lakeside court. That's how you want it to finish.
Mm, freeze frame.
Yeah.
How is it 9.4? My only explanation is that Gavin DeGraw must have done like a... Remember when U2 did that thing where their album was preloaded onto every iPod?
Mm-hmm.
Like you buy a copy of Gavin DeGraw's album and it automatically gives you a vote on IMDb for the last episode. As a 10.
Hmm.
It's just when you're at the checkout at Sanity, the cashier is putting in the price and then they go onto the IMDb and they're like, can you just give me your username real quick? Right, and we'll make
IMDb
that a 10 and that's...
I didn't think they could...
$39.95.
God.
Gavin DeGraw isn't real. He's a corporate puppet to pump up
to promote
One Tree Hill stock.
There was a bit of U2 at the end of this.
Were
you guys familiar with this song?
Well, they've got the song is called One Tree Hill.
Yeah,
famous. I don't know anyone that likes them, and yet they're so famous.
No, they got some bangers.
And yet we're getting our shit stolen by goddamn BuzzFeed.
While
Bono's out there cashing in on One Tree Hill.
That's our main problem is that too much of BuzzFeed's attention is directed towards us and not towards Bono.
Yeah, well, that's the problem. He's pulling all these.
One Tree Hill. Maybe they'll play our podcast as the soundtrack.
That would be better. Meanwhile, Bono's got his finger on the button and we're getting boxed out.
He's got his finger on the 10 out of 10 button on the last episode of One Tree Hill. And he's just fallen asleep. You know what's worse? The one review that said it was fantastic. 7 out of 7 people found this helpful.
I feel like I'm going to have to go on and write a review tonight.
Can you click and say that you didn't find it helpful?
I mean, it's been pretty helpful for our purposes.
Do it right now.
Yeah, well, that's true. No, actually, say it's helpful, yeah.
It's helped us. I think it's added content. It's really padded this episode out because we don't have a lot to say about the finale.
No.
One thing I do want to say is something that happened in the episode. Brooke's husband surprised her by buying her childhood house for her.
This happens a lot.
It would be really bad. I would not want to be surprised with someone buying me a house. That's too much.
That is too much.
That needs to be a joint decision.
It does. It does. But they're in
America. How would you feel if your partner, Jeremy, bought you your childhood home?
Well, it's in like Tasmania, in a shithole town in Tasmania, so probably only be like 20 grand, which is still a lot, but you know.
You could use that as an investment.
You got to remember, Aaron, this is tail end of the financial crisis in middle America. Those houses are like $6,000 a pop.
Mm.
Not even. True. It's either that or they just like become some sort of raccoon fuck ground.
Yeah.
So the bank's
do you think that he
20 bucks? Take it. It's yours.
Well, is it fair to say that maybe he didn't buy it? He just claimed squatter's rights.
Possibly.
Maybe they did, like, that was in the flash forward. Right before that, he's like, all right, I'm going to squat at this house. Skip forward 15 years. I bought you this house.
There you go. That's how it works.
I want to see those seats.
She didn't ask for the receipt, so he got away with it. You get a receipt for a house? I don't know. This is... It's out of my league.
Receipt printing machines.
Can we take a second to talk about the friend Mouth and his appearance on the sports TV show?
Yes.
And why does the small town have a sports network?
Because they go gaga for sports.
We're not going to talk about what he's on the show talking about.
He's remembered as the confused boy who took a handgun to school and then took his own life.
His announcer friend, shot up the
school. Yeah, from the first episode. But that announcer friend appears in... Yeah, appears in episode 1, episode 2, and then doesn't come back until that school shooting, pretty much. So write him out and bring him back to shoot the school up. So it.
And so they should have done with friends, Michael Murray.
Bring him back in the last episode as a school shooter.
Now we're talking.
That'll get you 9.5, I reckon.
AK in the right hand, basketball in the left hand. Still dribbling.
Dribbling on the trigger.
Well, if you can drive a car with a basketball,
you could definitely shoot a gun with it.
Shooting the lights out.
You just have it on a string attached to the basketball that's also attached to the trigger. So every time he bounces the ball down, it pulls the trigger. Custom made. He spent 5 seasons in Russia in the Kalashnikov factory, getting it, you know, sort of made up to his specs.
Now, are we able to get into the music?
Yeah,
please.
Okay.
Well, take us through.
It's kind of part of my reboot.
Okay, so maybe should we step out and should we move towards reboots?
So, my reboot. Not really a reboot, more like a one-off, like a Christmas special, if you will. But I reckon you'd have it early February because it's the One Tree Hill All-Star Weekend, North Carolina. So we've got some events. We've got the Skills Challenge brought to you by Karen's Cafe.
Skills, is that like Skills, the character? Is he running that?
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be...
That's what I thought you were alluding to.
That would be the smart thing. Yeah, let's do that. Sure.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Why not? We can workshop this because it's going to take off. So we've got the school bus driving, blindfolded, obviously just, you know, all the contestants see how far they can get before running into a freight train in a stolen school bus while some girl's making out with them. You got the head down, hood on, headphones in, dribbling in traffic challenge.
Yep, yep.
Where you, grey hoodie on, headphones in, dribbling, looking at the ground, and then just see how long it takes.
Sort of like Frogger.
How long you can go,
weave,
you know,
the cars,
crossing the road, not getting hit by a car.
Mm-hmm.
Just your standard tow truck challenge, you know. So just like hook the car up to the tow truck. See how quickly you can do that. You got the self nipple piercing challenge, where you just basically everyone just pierces their own nipple. we didn't talk about that, but that was bizarre. I don't know what.
that was weird.
And the adoption paperwork challenge is just your classic time trial, filling out adoption paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How many... Are you going like how quickly you can adopt one child, or are you going for like a high score of adopting the
I
most
think you're
children
for, like,
in,
you got
in a set amount of time?
And it's how many adoption papers you can fill out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know, like when
contesting with the most amount of kids at the end wins. But you got to also like you got to fill out the paperwork properly.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's got to pass.
You got to be able to run it through the system, and it's got to hold up. You know, we're going to have a all-star one-on-one knockout competition brought to you by Keith Scott's Body Shop. So we'll have 8 contestants in that one. We'll have Dan, obviously Nathan, Lucas, Keith, the big four. We'll have Coach Whitey if he's still alive. I feel like he's not. skills. The guy who gets pulled for Nathan in the first episode when coach is putting him back in, and we'll have Mouth. And that's just your classic knockout tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll have some live music at the weekend. We'll have the Loaded Gun by Chris Keller. We'll have shitloads of Gavin DeGraw. And there was another song in that episode apparently called Gun Is Loaded. So we'll have that one.
A lot of guns.
Oh, there was some. Are you gonna be my girl in the first episode?
Yes. Well, I'm more thinking about the in show. I don't want the non-diegetic sound. I want the diegetic sound. You know. And that is brought to you by OTH-music.com, which is a website you can go to that has every single song that appeared in One Tree Hill, and it goes into insane amount of detail.
Wow.
Oh.
So I can tell you the episodes that Gavin DeGraw appeared in. But check it out. It is an insanely detailed website.
A bookmark it.
Go to One Tree Hill on MySpace. Check that out.
Hey, Scott, can we redirect the incompleteseries.com to go to OTH.com?
Mm, absolutely.
Yeah.
OTH-music.com.
Anyway. Oh, sorry, yeah.
Your official source to the music from the show.
The show.
And you got, yeah,
it's the
music by
It's
episode,
the number one complaint that we get. is that we haven't got enough track lists from One Tree Hill.
Which seasons was Gavin DeGraw in? That's what people want to know.
Mm. Well, at its core, this podcast is about Gavin DeGraw.
It was just this is just a vehicle to get our Gavin DeGraw podcast off the ground.
Exactly. That's which is now this is the coming out parade of our Gavin DeGraw podcast. First episode is now. We're in it. It's live.
Anyway, so that's One Tree Hill All-Star Weekend.
Be there, North Carolina.
All-Star Weekend.
Oof. It's going to be a big one.
It's going to be a great one.
Aaron, you look like you're ready to go.
Yeah, sure, I'll jump in. My reboot, bringing it back, it's another TV series. And this one is a story as old as time. I'm sure you guys have heard this before. Mathan, the jerk-ass jock, king of the literary society, rules the school. He's dropping, he's quoting Dickens, dropping Pulitzer quality short stories weekly, and has those dreamy Stephen King looks. But in his senior year, his estranged brother Plucas shows up, and he's got a gift for writing as well. But he's the thoughtful, brooding point guard type. He didn't learn his craft under the bright lights and with the screaming fans of the library. He understands true human nature and the plight of man from years of running pick and rolls and for not settling for mid-range jump shots. But there can be only one. So Mathan challenges Plucas to a one-on-one poetry slam. Winner gets
it all.
You
saying Mathan or Nathan?
It's Mathan.
Mathan.
Okay.
Mathan and Plucas. It's
a common name. I don't know why I got confused.
So they challenge him to a one-on-one poetry slam. Winner gets it all, the fans, the scholarship, in the 8-figure deal to Random House Publishing. So tune in this week to find out who wins on Tales from the Hardwood.
Oh boy.
A show about competitive writing.
Competitive writing. But then maybe season 5 we'll pivot to bird watching as the fans drop off or something.
Mm, yeah.
What's the one-on-one by the river? How does that play out in the writing alternate universe?
Well, it'd be in like
a Nathan, poetry like a poetry slam or something.
Yeah, that's what I said. Were you listening?
I was. I just got caught up on Nathan for a while.
Well, I'm glad it got into your subconscious somewhere, because that is literally what I said.
Oh, that's what you said. Okay, I'm sorry. It's like, is he saying Nathan or Mathan?
I'm glad that's what you were focusing on.
You can't just make up names and expect me to keep up, all right?
This is Blex Bluther all over again. Really throwing us all off.
What's the championship game? Like a spelling bee?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's a height of literature.
Some people it is.
Hey, Jez, spell Mathan.
I think there's a P in there, silent. M-A-P-H-A-N.
Correct. You win Leighton, Mathan's girlfriend.
Ooh, Leighton.
All right. Who else got a reboot?
Cool. Well, I noodled with this for a little while. I had at first
did a little bit of
noodle with it.
Yeah, I noodled with it.
Like when you go fishing for catfish with your bare hands.
Just I had to noodle with it to make sure I got it right. So after noodling with it a little bit, I wanted to do some sort of Benjamin Button type setup where I had Anthony Hopkins play Lucas and Ian McKellen play Nathan, but that just kind of didn't seem that great. So what I decided to do instead was create a sort of a mini series or a mini sort of sub web series to the show, which kind of splinters off near the start of the first episode. Mm-hmm. So
we cast them once back 2010s, expand the fan interaction,
the universe.
By having a
exactly
yeah. I like it. Yeah, you're really so thinking your marketing hat. Today, Morgan.
Well, that's true. Like I said, I did a bit of noodling, and this is what I came up with. So this splinters off just around the time in the first episode where after Nathan and the Ravens win the game against the team in the red, and they go in that little joyride. They get caught by the cops. Now, when that happens, as we know, that One Tree Hill, the biggest thing in One Tree Hill is the high school basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
So there's got to be they have to cover it all up to keep Nathan on the court, keep his players on the court. So, which we know, you know, there's a bunch of guys that take the fall for Nathan. So, what we don't see is how that's all orchestrated. Now, who are the guys that get, you know,
pulling
who
the strings?
Who's pulling the strings, and who are the guys he chooses? So, one of the assistant coaches after this happens,
they set Nathan up for it, don't they? They frame him, my boy.
Take Nathan down.
Not Nathan.
So one of
these. Done?
One of the assistant coaches, he steps in. One of the assistant coaches, he steps in and he goes to free the boys from prison. He sprint to, you know, and he has to find two springing the boys.
Prison.
He has to get them out on bail. Yeah, well, you know, they're in the lockup. Yeah, noodle them out. Now, there's an assistant coach called Finster, and he goes and frees. You know, he goes and gets the kids out on bail, and he goes, all right, well, two of you guys have to take the fall. They're called the B guys, you know. Mm-hmm. So he has to pick out two B guys, you know, the lesser talented players to take the fall for this. And that's the initial part of this story. Now, he then gets this coach, he gets hired by other schools. Same thing. Need to cover things up. And he always tries to find B guys to cover up, you know, take the fall for bad mm-hmm. things when they happen.
The Mathans of the other
Which schools. They inevitably do.
The Mathans, so the Nathans can live and play. Now, it's called The B-Man Cometh. Well, One Tree Hill, the B-Man Cometh, and the coach, that assistant coach, Coach Finster, is actually played by Orny Adams. So it's real intense, real full on.
I like that.
The B-Man Cometh was my reboot. So a splintered version.
I do not.
That's what.
It's not a fate you would want to be selected as a B-Man by Orny Adams.
Exactly.
With that crazy look in his eyes.
To look up Orny Adams. He's
That and he becomes the coach of the Teen Wolf team eventually. So it's crossing universes. I'm drawing all in. Yeah.
Is Teen Wolf a Mathen at another school?
There's another Mathen in.
What are some of the other sort of misdemeanors that the basketball teams find themselves getting into?
All sorts of stuff. Stealing the school bus and nearly hitting a train. Other school bus related crime.
Stealing the school train, nearly hitting a bus.
Stealing the wheel, yeah, stealing it, taking a train on a joyride. Stealing, yeah, they get into Orny Adams' cocaine stash, and then eventually his meth stash. All sorts of stuff. There's a lot of hijinks.
Morgan,
classic high school stuff.
I just want to put Orny Adams in a really mellow, dramatic, you know, setting and see how he functions, see if he can actually act his way out of it.
Nothing mellow about that man.
Morgan, I need to know...
The B man cometh.
If we're getting into Teen Wolf territory, A, how much music is it going to be? B, what kind of music is it going to be? C, are you going to have a little little thing down the bottom that tells you which song is playing when it comes up?
It's about 30% DeGraw, and only for Gavin DeGraw songs will there be actual titles come up. Everyone else, all the music will just blend into the actual show.
Titles, tour dates, that sort of thing.
When the Gavin DeGraw song comes on, all the characters in the scene are replaced by Gavin DeGraw. But they don't break, like the acting continues as it was. There's no explanation. Suddenly it just cuts away and it cuts back and the coach is Gavin DeGraw and then the two kids who is trying to get out of... prison at Gavin DeGraw. And then it's when the song stops, it goes back to normal.
This is the advantage of making a TV show in the deepfake age.
Yeah, exactly.
We can just replace everyone with Gavin DeGraw and call it One DeGraw Hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and that show is at its core a show about hats, I would think.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And old-timey microphones.
There's still way too much Gavin DeGraw talk in this. I'm not comfortable with the amount of Gavin DeGraw.
It's a fun
DeGraw
name
talk.
To say.
It is a very fun name to say. I've had enough. All right, let's get out of here. Can we move into the Gavin DeGraw list of the week, please?
All right. Well, we do have a list of the week. It is from user Gavin DeGraw. And there's one person on it. No, this list is from Raven Steels. It is titled...
A fan of the show.
Smoking hot actors you want to lick like ice cream. The description is tasty, edible, yikes, yummy deliciousness.
Interesting.
We got 132 people, sizzling hot people.
List.
We've got Chris Evans, the human torch, sizzling. We've got Hayden Christensen, a little lick.
Just a little.
Ryan Felipe, yum.
I get on board with that.
David Beckham, in those underpants. Jake Gyllenhaal, very tasty little snack.
Little snack.
Little snack.
Eminem, he can do it all. And he's so cute too.
Can he do it all or can he just rap?
He can do it all. Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp sandwich, anyone?
With who? Two Johnny Depps.
They're trying to solicit somebody to make a sandwich with Johnny Depp.
Maybe with Emil Hirsch. More like Emil Lunch.
What?
Denzel Washington. Dinner time with Denzel as the main course.
A lot of eating these people.
Exactly.
Nicolas Cage. It's his eyes for sure.
They're going to lick his
eyes.
Suck
him out. Like fish eyes.
Oh.
Daniel Radcliffe, more like Harry Potter.
Good, that's good.
Jez, did you write this list? Just to fuck with us, because it's working.
Jay Wiseman written all over it. Somewhere in here, I can't find it, but Chad Michael Murray.
Barry Corbin.
Well, what's your description of Barry Corbin, since you wrote it?
More like Barry Lunchbin.
Corbin?
No, I don't know. He's hot. He looks like an egg. I like to crack that skull open and suck the goo out.
Smoking hot actors. I'd like to eat like an egg. By Jeremy White.
Cracking.
Like it's very specific though. Like a hard boiled egg. Dip my bread soldiers in their brains.
Can you give us more people on
like
your
bread soldier penis?
Yeah, your goo cracking list. Who else is on there? Statham.
Michael Chiklis.
Oh, yeah.
Statham.
Hey, I tell you, Statham's on this list as well.
Oh, is he? Of course he is. Yeah, the overlap between
there. He's bald, but he's still hot.
Is Travolta on the list? Would you take his
Travolta,
piece off?
Travolta, yeah. Now that he's embraced his inner Pitbull, Travolta's on there.
Yeah. Is Pitbull on the list? My
yeah, nemesis. I mean, I'd crack his skull open and feast on the goo.
Feast on the goo inside?
The guy from Hank from Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah.
Mike from Breaking Bad.
Dean Norris.
That's about it for now.
Gary Sweet?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'd eat Gary Sweet's brains.
At a pinch. Well, that's Jeremy Wiseman's list of the week.
List of the week. Egg list, egg cracking list of the week. Oh my god. Well, okay. Let's ask this question and go. Will you guys be returning to watch any more One Tree Hill? And if so, how much?
It's got to be none. Probably. I think Aaron will probably... You'll probably smash the pilot a few more times.
Yeah, it's my nightly ritual.
You got to pump those
numbers up. Two times
before
bed and one time for a little midnight snack.
Mm. When you wake up, you can't get back to sleep.
Feel that little emptiness inside.
It's your warm glass of milk.
You just want to crack it open like an egg?
Yeah.
like Michael Chiklis'
skull.
Dip
my soldier inside.
Barry Corbin's skull.
Sorry.
No, I'm going to listen to some DeGraw. You get him up on Spotify.
I might watch basketball again.
You are or you're not?
I'll probably watch basketball.
Does this ruin basketball?
Does that count?
I'm gonna
go on for the rest of my life search for a player that makes me weep when I watch. Only exclusively at high school games, which is is gonna get creepier and creepier as I get older.
Yeah,
I mean, there'll be a sweet spot there when I might have a child who's in high school. Mm-hmm. And it'll be passable, but after that, it's all downhill.
Well, you're older than all of us, Jez, so it's already getting. It's already the creepiest when you do it. So,
but I look the youngest.
It's true.
That somehow makes it even creepier. <I don't know.
laughs>
This man boy is coming up and crying in front of my son.
He's just so beautiful.
Oh dear.
Like a leg.
Oh dear!
His physical poetry.
I also will not be watching any more One Tree Hill, but I will be joining Jez to watch basketball games and see if there's a game we
and
can find
watch
that makes
for
us
the
weep.
The basketball poetry through a hole that goes straight into the under 17 boys' showers. See if there's any poetry in there.
This didn't go in the direction I was thinking.
Jeremy, Jeremy, you're a lawyer. Are you in trouble?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. If BuzzFeed do an episode where they start talking about cracking skulls open and watching boys shower,
yeah, this is a honeypot.
Then we'll
sue them. This is how we get BuzzFeed.
Some like BuzzFeed intern right now is just furiously taking notes.
even though we're revealing to them it's a honeypot.
Yeah, well, they don't know what that means. They never see Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, well, I think we should probably leave it there before we cross any more lines. I always say where can you find us online, but I think it's pretty obvious. We're on Facebook. We are on Instagram.
BuzzFeed.com.
Check us out on BuzzFeed. We're doing some really great stuff on BuzzFeed.
OTH-music.
If you haven't,
go on IMDb and smash that 10 button for the finale One Tree Hill. Let's see if we can get it to 9.7.
Exactly. And jump on and rate, review us, but make sure you don't give us the 10.
Imagine if we made that's the highest rated episode of TV of all time.
Don't.
It's not far off. What's the highest?
No, it's not, so close. No, the highest is like a
9.8?
I have no idea.
10.
I don't know, probably.
I reckon like 10 votes and we'll be up there. Be the, you know.
All right, well, should we get the listeners or our listener to jump on in there and give it 10?
Yeah, let's do it.
Why are you so committed to... Why do we want that?
I don't know.
Well, then DeGraw might have a comeback.
It'll be our legacy.
Is that the honeypot? Is that the honeypot for BuzzFeed?
Something to tell your grandkids.
is that what we're trying to do? Like, you're making some weird suggestions as my lawyer.
If we can't follow it, then they won't be able to either. We've got to be one step ahead of ourselves.
Yes. Okay. I think we need to get out of here. Before
taking this podcast to strange new places, Morgs. We're just shilling random episodes of TV on IMDb.
Okay, I love it.
Pump and dump. It's a classic now. Pump and dump. You know nothing about finance.
All right, we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there.
Penny stocks.
Okay.
Well, I caught up to blue chippers. Thank you.
Thanks, Jess. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Morgan.
And thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening.